Here's some breaking news from KCUR today. Being a teenager, it's hard. Hard to make friends, hard to keep them, hard to deal with a changing body and a changing mind. Now, imagine having cameras following your every move and broadcasting scenes from your growing up, the fears, the breakups, the acne, for all to see. Now, scratch that. Imagine something worse. Imagine having a disease that makes you sick much of the time and will shorten your life. Good morning, Kansas City. This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Today, in two very different ways, we examine the lives of teenagers, teenage girls specifically. We'll get to that program, that documentary series, not a reality show, produced by a local filmmaker a bit later. But first, we're going to look at what it's like to grow up with a chronic disease. In particular, sickle cell anemia, which disproportionately affects the African-American community. We're going to start with Bree Person, a high school student from the South Bronx, who told her story as part of the Radio Rookies program at New York Public Radio.
What are we doing right now?
We are putting up sickle cell posters around the school.
I want everyone to know what sickle cell is.
What do you know about sickle cell?
Don't remember.
I want them to know about the disease.
Sickle cell isn't being given a lot of money.
But not specifically about me.
It sounds real cool and easy.
I sent you.
But then here comes my friend Cinchy.
Asking all these questions.
Yes, I have it.
You do?
Yes.
Here we go.
I get pains in my legs.
What are you saying is that you can't walk?
I don't want people to judge me. And I don't want them to feel sorry for me.
Well, you know how your cells are circular?
Yours are square.
Let it go.
No,
rhombus.
No, let me just say it.
Okay.
It's a C.
Ew, how is that possible?
It just is.
Okay, sorry.
Sickle cell is a genetic disease that prevents oxygen from passing through the cells. That messes with your blood circulation.
I have pain today.
This is me when I'm sick.
I'm fixing myself a warm bath because that usually helps.
Moving any part of me, even an inch, feels like a 12-inch needle going through my arm.
I took some codeine.
I shouldn't run, but I do. I shouldn't swim, but I do. I shouldn't take the stairs, but guess what? I do. The problem is, doing too much or even getting too upset can send me into a crisis. My fingers start to swell up and my legs start to shake. When things get really bad, I go to the hospital. I hate the hospital. The thing is, my pain doesn't show.
It's still pretty invisible to many people.
That's Suzette Oyeku. She's a sickle cell doctor in the Bronx.
Even though the disease has been described for more than 100 years, there are many people who are suffering in silence.
Mostly people like me, black people. One of every 500 black or African American babies is born with it. We're called sicklers.
I tell you, not to hide it. It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I live mostly with my mom. When my twin brother's with us, we like to sit around, make jokes, just talk. We've always laughed like this. But when I was younger,
I was jealous.
I was sick a lot more.
Because you took a whole bunch of time out of school. So I was like, dag, why don't I have sickle cell? I want that.
He's such a freaking... Okay, listen, being in the hospital was not fun.
I think you wanted me to do everything for you. And I just felt like, you're going to do it yourself. You told me your arm was hurting, so I said, use your other arm. You're not dead.
My mom and dad both taught me to handle things on my own.
You kind of got it together.
That's something that I always feel so good about when I see you. Feel like, you know what? I can do it.
There was a time where it did look like, you were really feeling bad. And I actually tried to feed you then. And you were like, I got it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh,
that made me so happy because I was like, oh my gosh, she gets it.
My mom had a brother with the sickle cell disease, and I was very close to him.
Hi, Auntie.
Hi, Bree.
My aunt Trinda and I started talking about how funny he was at a basketball tournament.
And he would pretend like he was going into a crisis and be like, oh, I need you to cook me this meal. And I would go and cook the meal. And then he would pop up and be like, yeah, thanks. And he would be fine. He would be fine.
Sometimes we were in the hospital at the same time. He would come in my room, and we both have a lot of IVs. And he would say, it's holding me back. As if the IV pole were the problem.
One thing that I learned from Uncle Johnny was to always tell people that you love them.
Uncle Johnny's disease was more severe than mine. He was only expected to live to 18, but he made it to 38. Talking to my mom about him is hard.
How did you feel when he passed?
I felt like my whole world came to an end. I felt like when he died, I wanted to die too. That's how I felt. I felt like I lost my very best friend. That's how I felt. Oh, God.
A few weeks later, for the first time, I asked my mom if I had a life expectancy, and she told me 48. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, my mom is 41 now, and imagine, 7 years from my mom's age, am I going to be totally unable to take care of myself?
When you would see me in the hospital sick, what ran through your head?
Remorse, anger.
I probably would say guilt, the blame.
I didn't like that.
Why would you feel remorse or anger?
Because, I don't know, I kind of blame myself.
My oldest brother, Jay, was born with the sickle cell trait. So my parents knew they might have another child with the disease.
Sometimes in life you take chances, so I think, you know, a little remorseful.
This is why I don't like talking about sickle cell. It's depressing. See, I'm happy that I'm here. I'm happy that you took that chance. I've come to the conclusion that I'm basically two people. One is sickle cell Bree, and one is super Bree. Sickle cell Bree is difficult, leave me alone, in pain. Super Bree is outgoing, ready to jump, ready to climb, ready to be a boss. That means someone who takes control of her life.
Do you think that me having sickle cell helps me to be a better person in any way?
I think it pushes you. I think it pushes you to do a little better.
If I'm going to talk about sickle cell, that's what I want people to get. Yes, being a sickler interferes with who I am, but it also makes me who I am.
I just want to tell you that it is a pleasure being your mom.
I'm proud to say that I'm your father.
It feels pretty good to know that you are proud of me.
For WNYC, I'm Ricky Reporter Bree Person.
And I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
That report was part of Radio Rookies, a program of New York Public Radio that provides teenagers with training to create radio stories about themselves and their world. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison, and joining us now by phone in New York is Bree Person, who is a high school senior who lives in New York City. Bree, thanks for spending some time with us today.
No problem.
Also joining us is Donna McCurry. She's the Sickle Cell Program Manager at Truman Medical Center here in Kansas City. Donna, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Donna, I want to start with you, actually. And if you could just give us an overview, what is exactly sickle cell disease?
First, before I start about talking about what sickle cell disease, I just want to give a shout out to Miss Bree there. You sound like you're an awesome young lady. And you've just been added to one of my heroes. Well, sickle cell disease is an inherited blood disorder, and it is present at birth, and it is a chronic, lifelong, and as you heard Bree say, oftentimes a debilitating problem. It causes chronic anemia, unexpected episodes of severe and incapacitating pain, and a host of other physical and psychosocial problems.
Now, let me stop you right there, Donna. Tell us what anemia is.
Well, anemia, if you break down the word, and I had to think about this the other day, A is without, anemia is blood. So essentially you're without blood, and specifically it's the red blood cell that gets low, and that causes weakness,
because it's not carrying enough oxygen to the parts
correct.
Of your body. Mm-hmm. And do you, you said that it causes social problems too. What do those have to do with the medical condition that is sickle cell?
Well, Bree touched on them a little bit in her presentation. It's just not having a disease, but how that impacts every part of your life, your relationships with your parents, your peers, your future career goals, you know, worrying about how long am I going to be here? You know, how long can I plan? You know, what sort of future planning can I have?
So we're going to talk a little bit about that with you, Donna, and with you, Bree. Donna, you see people at all different ages dealing with the disease. When the symptoms start to manifest themselves with very small children, what does it look like? How does a parent find out that their child has the disease?
You know, I don't do a lot of care with the children with sickle cell, and in fact, I didn't have a lot of experience with sickle cell disease until I came to Truman. I'm dealing mostly with adults. But from what I understand, it can be manifested with crying, uncontrollable crying. Bree can give us a better understanding there. But oftentimes crying, swelling, sometimes it's evident in the belly or the hands, you know, because of the crisis of preventing blood flow. And pooling of blood within the spleen is one of the early symptoms of the disease.
Let me ask you, Bree, as you think back to when you were a younger kid, what do you remember about experiencing this disease?
When I was younger, most of the time I would have pain mostly in my back, and it was more. It started with like a sharp pain. So if it was like not the sort of pain that I was used to, then I knew I was going into a crisis. So it takes a lot of time to try to figure out whether it's pain of just playing outside and I might have gotten hurt, or pain of my disease is actually kicking in.
Hmm. Did it change as you got older? Did the ways that the disease affected you change?
As I got older, I found it a lot more difficult to deal with, because as a kid, I'm like, everyone is taking care of me, and I don't really have to deal with a lot of things. But as I got older, I have high school, and I have a lot of work that I have to catch up in. And I actually have to speak up and tell my teachers why I'm not in school. And sometimes I would just give them a piece of paper, but most of the time teachers here don't look at that paper. So I actually have to do a lot of talking to and try to convince them that this is a serious illness. Sometimes, since it's not heard of, it can be hard to convey my feelings of having it and what it does to me.
Right, because you don't look like you're sick.
Yeah, it's not something you can see.
Donna McCurry, I know you work with adults at Truman Medical Center, maybe some younger folks, but mm-hmm. but is it possible for a person to have a normal, if I can call it that, a normal life dealing with this disease, and noting that high schoolers probably never feel like they're having a normal life anyway. But is it possible to live what would look like a quote unquote normal life?
I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that.
From the patients you've worked with.
The feedback that mm-hmm. I get from my patients, I would probably tend to say no. It's very challenging to have a normal life. School gets interrupted. You know, as Bree was just saying, with, you know, these unexpected episodes of pain, I have people tell them they'll go to school or to work in pain and then have to try and justify going home because they don't look like they're sick. You know, so this interferes with any kind of normality.
Right.
And with these episodes being unexpected, sometimes it's hard to plan, you know, and planning is part of what we do with a normal sort of, you know, life.
Right. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking today about sickle cell disease with Donna McCurry, who runs the sickle cell program here at Truman Medical Center, and also with Bree Person, who is a high school senior in New York City, who herself is living with sickle cell disease. One of the real impacts of sickle cell is a shorter lifespan. Donna, what's the average lifespan of a person living with sickle cell?
Average lifespan right now is about 42, 44 years old. However, I'd like to say this. We're finding more and more the need to understand sickle cell disease in older people. We have right here in Kansas City, we're graced by an individual who's in her 80s. And I'm seeing others that are in their late 50s and 60s. So, Bri, you hang in there. And other young people, don't let that age limit you. Because we're finding more and more out about the disease and what can help make people live a not only a longer life, but a better quality of life.
Well, and I do want to ask you, Bri, you touched on this in your story that we heard a moment ago. You said you don't know what to think about the fact that that your lifespan is going to be shorter, that your mother is almost the age that that doctors have mentioned for you. I guess have since that story aired, have you had opportunity to think about that anymore? What do you make of that reality about your life?
It can be hard to think about that because I have so many goals that I set for myself, and usually I like to estimate what age I'm going to be at my most successful state, and usually a lot of people say your 40s is the best age that you'll be financially stable and you have your family, and it became a problem with my uncle. I told you he passed away when he was 40, and he has three little girls, and they're living without a father, and I often think about if I was to have a family and what would happen if I wasn't there to take care of them. So mostly when I think about my age of whether I'm going to live or not, it gets very depressing, and it puts a limit on what I should look forward to. But I always look forward to many things because my mom and my dad have always taught me that there are good things to come.
Good for you. I want to invite our listeners to the conversation. If you or someone you know has struggled with chronic disease as a young person, we'd love to hear from you. What was that like? And what challenges would surprise people who haven't been down that road? How did you or how did they get through that? Call us or email us. You can call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Bree's story contained some facts that have been reported about sickle cell. 1 in 500 African-American babies is born with sickle cell disease. 100,000 African-Americans are living with the disease today, far out of proportion to that part of the population. Donna, why is that? Why is there such a difference?
There's a misconception that sickle cell only affects African-Americans. And in the United States, that is the most common people that are affected. But sickle cell kind of originated from areas where there was malaria. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, was Africa. And then people migrated out from Africa. But again, people who have ancestry from the Mediterranean countries, India, Central and South America are also affected.
Also prone to the disease. And I was actually very interested to hear about this, the evolution of sickle cell alongside malaria is really interesting because it ends up that this gene protects you from malaria. Is that right?
The trait only will protect you from malaria.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it is more prevalent in coming from those whose ancestry is in places where malaria was present.
Correct.
Bri, what do you think people don't understand about sickle cell? There's lots of misconceptions, as Donna said. What are the misconceptions that you've encountered?
Usually what Donna touched on was they don't understand that I'm sick because I don't look like I'm sick. So usually when I go to the nurse, I get into a lot of arguments because mm-hmm. she keeps saying I could have came to her before going to the hospital, and it's not something you can see because it really hurts me, but it's hard to just, I can't give them my pain, which is one of the most problems I have with having the disease. And also talking with doctors sometimes, I've been to other states where they haven't heard of sickle cell, so it's like I have to tell them what medication is best for me. Mm-hmm. So that's the hardest part of having the disease, is not them not being able to feel it.
Yeah, most of us don't have to take that kind of responsibility for our own medical care.
Yes.
Bri, I guess help us understand what that's like. How long do episodes typically last? You can feel that you're heading toward one. You know that you need to get to the hospital. Then what happens?
When I know that I have to go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm. Like, how long does it this whole thing then take to unfold?
Well, the pain usually is it escalates. The longer I wait, the worse it gets. And if I don't act fast, then I'll get sick longer. So I have to make my decision and go for it. So sometimes I try to hold back because I'm very big on school. So I usually come to class and worry about my sickness later, and that it has taken a toll on me, I would say. But when I go to the hospital, they work very fast. They do.
Yeah. Donna, how many patients does Truman Medical Center see as part of your program?
We have about 85 to 90 that are actively enrolled in our program. Last time I checked with the state, there are probably about 1,200 people in the metropolitan area with sickle cell disease. 300 to 400 of those are children. So we don't see everybody in the area at Truman with sickle cell disease.
Other than dealing with the pain of these episodes, when they occur, is there other treatment that's available? What else is available to these patients in the program?
One of the things I like to particularly emphasize, because I'm a family nurse practitioner, my emphasis on health promotion and wellness is looking at your lifestyle and trying to observe good health behaviors.
And avoiding the episodes in the first place.
Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes, no matter, you can do everything perfectly. You're eating, you're drinking well, you're getting your rest, you're trying to manage your stress, you're taking your medicines, and boom, it still will happen. You know, so I don't want people to feel bad. I'm doing everything, and I'm still having episodes, because that's the nature of the disease. You know, it's not always something you can put your finger on. And that's sometimes one of the challenges I think people with sickle cell have when they encounter healthcare providers. You look fine. We don't see any infection. Bree can probably tell you better on that. And so what I'm trying to say is sometimes everything can be perfect in terms of your health and the episodes will still occur. But we do promote a healthy lifestyle. We do encourage people to have wellness checks. Don't wait till you get sick to come in. You know, make sure you're keeping at least a visit every 3 to 6 months, because there's things we do that we look for that help us identify changes, like with your kidneys and your eyes. And if it's caught early, we can save some more severe complications down the road.
Bree, I enjoyed and appreciated in the radio story that you put together that you said you were honest about saying you don't like talking about this very much. And yet you did tell your story on the radio. I wonder if being able to tell the story and having opportunities to tell the story has helped you live with the disease.
It has helped me, because not talking about it brings on a lot of stress, and stress can trigger an episode. So getting it out was very good for me, to just let people know that it's real and I have it, and I would like a lot more awareness so I won't be in this alone, because half the battle is getting other people to understand and also going through it. So it's helped a lot.
Donna, is there work underway to find a cure for sickle cell?
There is, and I'm not going to try and explain all the sorts of things that are going on. I do have a list. Let me read through it, because I think that's another one of the misconceptions, that there's no research going on whatsoever. Yeah. And
give us just a glimpse of what kind of research is going on.
There's genetic factors that affect sickle cell, and these are being looked at. What is the role of gene therapy? What are the optimal uses of blood transfusions? They're trying to develop animal models so there can be more testing, you know, on animals versus trying to test things on humans first.
Yeah, right. So a lot of different avenues for research.
Yes.
And possibilities. Mm-hmm. Bree, I want to ask you, one more question. What are your plans after high school? Do we need to look to you to compete in this world of radio journalism, or do you have some other plans?
I actually do want to go into radio journalism. I'm very stuck on that. I want to go to the University of Maryland and major in communications.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I apart from the fact that there might be more competition out in the world, I'm glad to hear that for your sake. Donna, if folks have questions or maybe are dealing with disease themselves or a concern that maybe their kids would, what should they do here in the Kansas City area?
In the Kansas City area, of course, they can call Truman Medical Center, and I can be reached Monday through Friday at 816-404-4290. I also encourage people to look at their local Sickle Cell Disease Association. Ours here in the area is the Uriel Owens chapter. I don't know their name, their phone number, but I can get it for you if you need it.
All right. Well, and we will have a link on our website to information about Donna's program and also to that report from Bree that you heard earlier today. Bree Person is a radio rookie from New York City. Bree, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Donna McCurry is the Sickle Cell Program Manager at Truman Medical Center. Donna, thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me, and good luck, Bree.